Good morning, friends. It is so good to see you today. Welcome to Nashville First. Welcome, City of Nashville. My name's Thomas, and it is a great joy to be able to welcome you in today. I know we have many guests and visitors here this morning. Some of you came on your own, and we're so glad that you did. Others were invited and hosted. You're here with a friend hosting you along this morning. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation. We are so glad to have you joining this morning. We're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to speak with you on this theme of hear, trust, obey. And if you brought your Bible, you should be able to find it. It's near the front of the book. And if you don't have a Bible, then grab one in the back of the pew in front of you and find page 242 and meet me there. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to speak with you on this theme of hear, trust, obey. And welcome back, church family. What a beautiful Christmas celebration that the Lord gave us together. I hope it's been a good Christmas season for you, a good New Year season of enjoying some holidays and some time to rest and be refreshed. We remember church family even as we gather in here this morning. Many of us were gathered here just yesterday to celebrate the life of Lynn Wells and her homegoing in a beautiful time of celebration and remembrance. Here we are, remembering as we start this new season and this new year, that God has appointed a time for each of us. So let's make the most of the time while we have it. I want to speak with you on this theme of hear, trust, obey, and it's part of a broader concept or a broader idea for us, simply called start here. I know a lot of us, it's the new year and we're trying to figure out what's the new thing that we're going to do here in this new year. We won't do a show of hands. Anyone on that diet plan? How many of us are reading Genesis chapter 6 today? I mean, we're all trying to figure out, like, how am I going to level up? What am I going to work on in this new year? And look, we just acknowledge that as a church. And we just kind of zoom the lens out a little just to say, we know a lot of people want to get serious about the Lord, want to get serious about their journey with Jesus, really want to step things up in their marriage. You're just looking to be a better friend or a better employee or a better worker in the year ahead. So many times we have these great hopes, these great dreams, but we don't even know, like, where do I even begin with some of this stuff? And maybe you're sitting just there this morning, hoping that things are just going to get really practical and we could just get down to the basics of what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? We know a lot of people are trying to get going. We don't even know where to begin. And we just begin the year by saying, we're going to start here, returning to the basics. But I hope it's not a discouraging return to the basics for those of us who've been walking with Jesus for a long time. I don't think we need to take this up this morning as, okay, or return for the basics. So that's going to be for the rest of them who are new to this thing. Friend, we remember with the Apostle Paul, so much of the teaching of the New Testament isn't actually giving new things out. It's actually saying things that we forgot about, that we need to be reminded of. So here we are even there, beginning the year, seasoned disciples, many of us here around the room, but coming back to those basics that we are so quick to forget of who God is and what does it mean to be in a living and active relationship with Him. So this theme of hearing, trusting, and obeying. You know, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 has a promise for us. It says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'm believing that for you today. I'm believing that for us in this season. God can be found. And you're even here on this very first Sunday of a new year, searching for God. Friend, I'm just here to tell you, you're in just the right place. You have a Father in heaven who knows you. He loves you. He created you. He wants to be discovered. He wants to live in a relationship with you. He wants you to know His voice, to be able to trust Him and follow Him all the days of your life. But church, that's a verse for us as well. We can know God. We can have a relationship with God when we turn to Him and we seek Him with all of our hearts. I'm going to be honest with you at the outset of this, hearing, trusting, and obeying the voice of God. It's difficult, actually. It's difficult. It requires a certain kind of openness on one hand. I believe that God wants to say something to me, but it requires a certain tenacity on the other. It requires some leaning in, some focus as well. Have you ever been in a crowded restaurant? Maybe you got to go out to eat with a loved one or a family member here in the last couple days, And there's lots of noise around, but you could follow the person right across the table from you. Our precious daughter was off in the Nashville Nutcracker over the last couple of weeks. We're so glad it's over. It was great. And it was amazing, to be honest with you. It was fantastic. And as we were going through the Nutcracker, many times, like being out in the lobby space, so many people talking, so much noise, so much going on. And you ever been able to just kind of pick up on the voice? I was able to pick up on the voice of my lovely wife, Elizabeth, just like that. Hear through a crowd. God's voice works like that. But you got to learn to detect it. You got to learn to listen to it. You have to have an openness to you. And you got to listen and lean in. Well, that's where we are. We see this kind of openness and we see this kind of tenacity in the person of Samuel. So let me invite you, if you're able, would you please stand to your feet to honor God's word and the reading of it? And with all of us standing at attention to the Lord on this first Sunday of a new year, this specific verse has been on my heart for you as a faith family to start the year. It's Psalm chapter 40. Here's verse 6. We open our year with this. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. An open ear to the Lord. Let me pray that in. Father in heaven, we simply pray with your servant Samuel. Speak, Lord. Your servants are here at the outset of a new year and a new season, and we are listening. So speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's the word of the Lord. I'm going to read off 1 Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, he was lying down in his own place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. Verse 6. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Verse 7 is important. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I will declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew about, because his sons are blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Verse 15. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What is it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, be it ever more severely, if you hide anything from me of all that he told to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, that's from the north to the south, they knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the very last verse tells us in chapter 4, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. And thank you. Please be seated. Hopefully you found a copy of this on your way in and you can take some notes as we go. I know many Connect groups are studying along. We're not looking to do the same content twice. We're looking to drill down into this some more to work on the implications and the applications of the Word of God that we don't always get down to the depths of everything when we go in here. So hopefully you have a copy of this and we can follow along. This will be our program guide for the season ahead. We're interested in two questions. First one is this: what are the different ways that God speaks to us? I know this was a topic for many of us in our Connect groups as we were just sitting around and kicking this around together. What are the different ways that he speaks to us? And in this, we'll see even further that God speaks to us in many different ways. Now, did you know this? God is talking to you in many different ways. He speaks through his word. It's the most reliable. He speaks through prayer. It's a conversation. He speaks through our experiences or our circumstances. And we just flag that one. They're often the least reliable way to hear God's voice, but how many of us actually put the most stock in it? He speaks through visions, he speaks through dreams, he speaks through his impressions, he speaks through a still small voice, he speaks through your thoughts as you have a redeemed mind, he speaks to us deep in our hearts even when we're in the midst of our sin. Romans 1 tells us he speaks through nature, corresponded by Psalm 19, he speaks through music and the arts. God impresses things on us. And here in the book of Samuel, we're interested in the second question: what can we learn about hearing God from Samuel's experience of learning to hear God? Because when it comes to hearing God, I know as soon as I start talking like this, there's different reactions all around the room. Different thought bubbles are popping up all over the space right now. Some of us are wondering, hold on, God's going to talk to me? Isn't he just going to give me a Bible and I'm going to show up at church and I'm going to get a few tips and I'm going to go try to live that out? Is that what this is going to look like? He's going to talk to me? Like, I got to listen to him? He does. He will. He wants to. But around the room, as we hear it, we're like, well, how am I going to find out what God has to say, you know? Look, as a young boy, I actually thought, like, how God was going to speak to me. Big fan of Lucky Charms, to be honest with you, with 2% milk. So fixing that in the morning and, you know, wondering, am I going to get a message in the bowl? Is he going to give me something today, you know? Or like, make a piece of toast and think you saw, like, the Virgin Mary's face on it and think that's saying something to you. I mean, how is it going to happen? How's it going to go? How's God going to speak to me? How's he going to speak to me? And what can we learn from Samuel's journey of this as well? Friends, it would not be too much for me to tell you, I've been looking forward to walking through this chapter of Scripture with you for 2 years now, since you first called me to be your pastor. I've also been waiting for what felt like the right time and the right season to walk through these next few minutes of Scripture with you. Not only this today, but what this represents for us in the next few weeks and the season that we're walking into in February and beyond. So look, let's lean in for this together. This has been brewing in my heart for you for 2 years. Let's lean in. Let's just go verse by verse. First, verses 1 and 2. God longs for his voice to be heard. And this chapter of Scripture begins with a beautiful picture of a boy learning to hear the voice of his God in heaven, a God that he can't see, but a God who's speaking to him. And all of us, we find ourselves like the young boy Samuel at one point or another, learning to hear God speak. And we're going to find ourselves like Samuel, needing an Eli in our life. Now, Eli's leadership, it was full of sin and brokenness. Eli knew the right thing to do, and he did not do it. He had sins of omission on his life. It wasn't that he did something wrong, it's that he knew the right thing to do, and he held back. And Samuel needed even the help of an Eli to bring him along and to help him. We're going to need community, too, if we're going to learn to hear, trust, and obey what God is saying to us. Notice verse 1. God wasn't speaking very frequently in those days. The word of the Lord refers to visions and prophetic activity. Prophets were not hearing from God communicating. Rare, not the fillet you had in the last week, but rare reveals that God was not permeating the hearts of the community with his word. People weren't really hearing from God. So in verse 2, he has been ministering in the presence of God for a long time. Apparently, the priests were ineffective in teaching the word to the people. And Eli, the great high priest at Shiloh, he hasn't had much vision. So you imagine, we have a community of people. They haven't had a lot of vision. The one who's supposed to be bringing them the vision, supposed to be bringing them the word, he's not effective in it. And you just think, this is where this chapter of Scripture begins. Just because we may not hear God speaking right now, it does not mean two things. It does not mean there is no God.
We might not be able to hear this God, but our experience of not having hear him speak to us, it does not mean he does not exist. And it does not mean that he does not speak. Problem could be on our side. So we have these three characters in the story. We have Gon, we have little boy Samuel, and then we have Eli. And Eli's his deafness to the voice of God and the blindness of the vision was not a reflection on God. It was a reflection on him. So check out verses 3 to 10. Let's watch Samuel go on his journey. Samuel's sleeping. This wild detail in the text. In the Holy of Holies? I'm sorry, is he in the Holy of Holies or is he close to the Holy of Holies? That text puzzles me a bit. And I lean in and I squeeze that verse and I start making demands of that verse. Like, where is this guy sleeping? And I love what Scripture does. It's like, and it just kind of keeps going. So we keep going too. Verse 4. He thought he heard from God. He heard something. So what does he do? He runs to a friend. Hey, here I am. You call me. What are you going to talk about? You know, I was like, why are you waking me up? Go back to your sleeping bag. I'm fine. Go to bed. Verse 7 tells us he didn't yet know the Lord, but he had been ministering in the presence of God for a long time. And friends, let me try to make this real for us here in this room right now. You're reading a text about someone who literally lived and he made his work in the house of God, in the temple of the Lord, and he could not discern when God was speaking to him. Let me try to speak this in a little more, okay? It is possible to come to church, to be in and around church. It's possible to call yourself a Christian. It's possible to have a Bible. It's possible to have books. It's possible to have podcasts and even listen to those podcasts. Be a bunch of spiritual activities and have no relationship with the God that you claim to serve. It's possible. It's possible. And I come to you not with a spirit of accusation today. I come to you saying, can we see what's in the text? Can we see how it could go? And as we see this, let this be a mirror to us. James 1 would tell us, James 2 would tell us, this is intended to be a mirror. When we look into this, do we see ourselves in Samuel? Someone who's busy around the house of the Lord, but no active relationship with God? And let's not have that. Let's not do that. Let's not be those kinds of people this year. And as we're weighing things up and as we're making commitments and resolutions, let's commit to this. We're going to know the God that we claim to know. We're going to have a relationship with him. We're going to talk to him and he's going to talk to us. We're going to believe him for it and we're going to do some stuff. Let's believe him for that together, church. I'll be honest with you though. I'm looking at you and I'm telling you, like, you can come here and you can miss out on his voice. And all around this room, it's, well, Thomas, you have no idea how hard it is to be an accountant. You have no idea how hard it is to work in hospital administration. You have no idea how hard it is to be a professor at a university. You have no idea how hard it is just to work my faithful line job and just try to hold it all together. And now I gotta bring in all of this. I know it's a lot. I'll tell you, pastoral ministry can be a very difficult place to hear the voice of God. So much concern for our own plans and our own ideas and our own agendas. And it's like, whoa, what is God saying to us in the midst of this? I do think I know something of the struggle as well. Check out verse 8. I love verse 8. I'm letting you in on my life a little more with me. I try to pray verse 8 every day when I wake up in the morning. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I believe that you're there. I believe you want to talk to me today. Speak. What do you have for me? I try to say it before I get out of bed, and I'll admit it, 40 years old, I'm starting to say, my back. But hey, you know, like, we're doing the best we can. Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. Help me with this body that's starting to crack too much. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Look, God wants a dynamic relationship with you. He wants one with you where he's talking to you, you're receiving from him. And verse 10 is important. Can you see verse 10? Look at verse 10. There's a significant shift right here in verse 10. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak for your servant hears. There's the verse. Speak for your servant hears. It's the mark of a true disciple. When we learn to trust, God is speaking. I'm going to call him for that. God, speak to me. I'm listening for you now. I want to hear what you have to say. And it's amazing when you get this language later on from Dan to Beersheba, from the north side to the south side of the country, everyone was getting revelation now. If you kind of zoom the lens out, like, where am I in this chapter of Scripture? You're about to have a movement here where not just a person and not just a family unit, but a whole nation of people are about to move in their ability from not hearing God to hearing God. And it's going to come down to one person's journey of learning to hear, trust, and obey what God is saying. I wonder how that rolls out in a place like Nashville. All the families represented in here, all the workplaces represented in here, all the schools that are represented in this room just right now. I wonder what kind of work God wants to do through you in the year ahead. As you're leaning in to say, God, I believe you have something for me. I believe you have something for the people around me. Speak. I'm open to you. This posture is open. I believe you want to speak. What do you want to say? What do you want to say? In this chapter of Scripture, it's the difference between a whole nation of people not hearing from God and hearing from God and having vision for where they ought to go. So we look at verses 11 to 18. And this is where we have all kinds of, what's our word? Empathy for our guy Eli. And compassion for the servant Samuel as well. You see it there, verses 11 to 18. You imagine the context of this. This is Eli is like the veteran senior minister of an operation, right? Been around for a while, like tried and true leader of a thing. And then we have Samuel. Is he like the church intern? Yeah. So you got your senior pastor's been walking with the Lord for a long time. There's Eli. And then you have almost the intern, right? I mean, is he not fringe to the operation, right? And then think about the dynamic here. You think about it in your own life. You think about like your manager, your boss at your company. Or if that's you, think about being that person. And then think, this other person over here is about to get a significant download of information, right? And they didn't just do some super sleuthing. They didn't just get on the Reddit, right? They heard from God about what was going on in this person's life. Yeah, I want you to like lean into this. Just imagine yourself into this text of Scripture, right? Whether you're the church intern about to get a huge download on the senior minister, or if you're the person in charge and somebody else is about to get some information here. And then scroll back over verses 11 to 18 and just imagine the import of this, what this would have felt like. God saying, I'm going to come along and I have to bring judgment against Eli. I have to bring judgment against Eli's house. Why? Because Eli knew the foolishness that his children were up to. This is in chapter 2. In fact, if you turn the page just one, I got a heading in my Bible that says, Eli's sons were scoundrels. That's Hebrew for they weren't acting right, all right? And Eli knew that, and Eli refused to confront it. See, there's two sorts of sins. You'll know this. There's sins of commission, and you kind of know when you're doing it. You know when you're in the sin of murder. You know when you're in the sin of adultery. Then there's these much more subtle territories, sins of omission. I know what God requires of me in this situation. I'm just not going to do it. I know God is calling me to unity. I'm just going to hold off. I know God is calling me to trust him with my finances in a new way. Not going to do it. I know God is calling me to walk across the room and say, I'm sorry. I know God has put it in my spirit. I need to go and I got to confront this in my children. Look at the life of Eli. And it was through Eli's, not sins of commission, but his sins of omission, that the mantle of leadership moved from one of God's leaders off to the other. Helpful warnings to begin the year 2026 with, right? Right? Not just that I could disqualify myself by actively doing something wrong. I could reach disqualification, or the mantle could move, or the blessing could shift if I know the right thing to do and I hold back. So God speaks this to little boy Samuel. And then I read, where in the world am I? Where is this thing? There it is. Okay. And I read this thing right over here. Verse 15, Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. I think that's putting it lightly. Yeah, hey, church intern, walk into the senior pastor's study and tell him all the stuff God gave him. You imagine showing back up at the office tomorrow morning and you're getting there to run everything, lead everything. You can call somebody in, like, hey, so Jesus showed up last night and he told me some stuff and I got to read you in now. Because that's what this moment is right here in the redemptive history of God. You got to have heart for Eli. He's going to be able to confess down here. Look, it's the Lord. Let God do what God's going to do. I love that. So the embers of faith are still alive for our guy Eli here. Hey, he's the Lord. Let him do whatever he wants with me. He still knows God. In fact, this guy who was so riddled up with sin and his own leadership, he has the wherewithal to teach somebody else how to hear from God in the midst of their sin. Look, there's hope for the rest of us. We're going to be okay. So we who struggle with sin, we who struggle with hearing from God, we're going to be able to lead other people on that path too. And then verses 19 to 21, he actually takes us over to chapter 4, verse 1. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from the north end to the south end, they knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh. And the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And look at that. Look at how far we've gone from chapter 3, verse 1 to chapter 4, verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. And standing right in between the two of these is one person's journey of learning to hear, trust, and obey. I'm not making any promises. I'm just trying to help you imagine and dream a little. I wonder what this could look like in some classrooms that children of this church are about to go in, young disciples, the little Samuels among us, boys and girls alike, looking to go back into some classrooms tomorrow and in the next week. The whole classroom's not knowing about God. And one person tunes in to hear, trust, and obey. Whole classrooms, could they come to know about God? Think about all the neighborhoods that are represented here. All the neighborhoods. You think like neighborhoods, they do not know about who the Lord is. But as one person, as one family, one marriage, one husband and wife lean into this together, let's figure out how God speaks and how to tell people what God says. How many neighborhoods could be swept with the gospel? Whole communities of people coming to know the Lord. Workplaces the same. Family trees and on and on and on it goes. It's a testimony. What you have before you is a testimony of how God has chosen to reveal himself to one person. And the remainder of Samuel's life is a story of a man learning to listen to God. And the rest of the book is the story of God speaking to his people and giving them his plan, which is full of love and is for the redemption of them from their sins. So what for us? Three truths I want you to write down. First one is this: God is speaking. God is speaking. This wasn't God back then. This is God still today. God created the whole world by speaking. God relates to his people by speaking. God has raised up prophets and priests and kings to speak on his behalf. God has spoken fully and definitely through his son, Jesus Christ, who Hebrews 1 calls the Word. And one of the things that Jesus did when he went to the cross, when he died on that cross, he died on that cross to open up and to restore to you your ability to hear his voice. What a great truth. The invitation for us is to live a life of hearing God. As we begin this new year of serving the Lord together, can we please just gently watch ourselves and watch one another to be sure we are not so insistent on doing the right thing for God that we stop to actually listen to God. So what are some ways that God speaks today? First, his voice. You can say God speaks through the Spirit of God. Now, God spoke audibly to Samuel. Now, we don't know if he's actually standing there, if he's just kind of echoing something in. We're not given these details here. But we do have this. When Jesus came and he told his disciples that he had other things to teach them, but he couldn't teach them now. But here's how he was going to teach them. He was going to leave. He was going to ascend and go sit down at the right hand of the Father after he made sacrifice and propitiation for sin. After he died on the cross, he was buried in the ground. He raised 3 days later. He demonstrated himself with many signs and proofs, and he rose and he ascended. He sits down at the right hand of God. And this is how Jesus says, I want to still speak to you, John 16, 12 to 13. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So the Spirit of God reveals Jesus. And the Gospel of John teaches us as well that the Holy Spirit would continue to teach and bring remembrance to us the things that God has said through Jesus in his word, John 14, 26. Second way that God speaks through his scriptures. You can hear the audible voice of God every day. You can have as much of it as you want. You take this book right here and you read it out loud and you can hear God speak. This is how he speaks. What a privilege. Scripture is the primary way that he communicates to us. It helps us confirm his voice. As we do hear through all of these, it's going to sound weird. Don't go there. It's media. God speaks through all of these different media. His voice, his word, his people, his church, his world. But scripture helps tune in the frequency to it all. John Calvin would talk about how the scriptures, they function as spectacles or glasses that you put on. And when you put them on, the whole world comes into focus. And we're going to talk about reading the Bible. We're going to come to this in 2 weeks' time. And I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to challenge you. Find a Bible reading plan. Let's read the book every day so God can speak to us every day. Third, he speaks through his people, the church. God speaks through his church. Colossians 3, 16 to 17. We consider the incredible privilege. We get to speak God's word to one another. Like I get to remind you of scripture and you get to remind me of scripture. God speaks through his people. And there's lots of great stuff over there in the letters to the church in Corinth about how this Holy Spirit shows up spontaneously and randomly in people to inspire specific words of encouragement that we can give to one another. He speaks to his world, creation. It's important to remember this. Psalm chapter 19 says, day after day pours forth speech, night after night reveals knowledge. God speaks through his created world. And Romans 1 confirms this as well. What has been made plain about God is clearly known through the created order. God speaks through his world, and he speaks through his son. Although God speaks in creation, he speaks definitively through his son, Jesus the Messiah, the firstborn of all creation. God's work was accomplished in the son, John 1 tells us. He's the definite word from God, Hebrews 1, 1 to 4 as well. We want to grow in our ability to hear God speak. And God's going to speak through all of this different media. And he's going to speak through categories that I'm not even naming today. Categories that are hard to understand, hard to put into words, hard to pin down in specific ways. But God speaks. God often speaks to us through a little bit of this one, a little bit of that one. And oftentimes in the huge decisions of life, we feel them all kind of working together. And that one that will never let us down, we keep coming back to scripture. But here's the second truth. God's voice can be difficult to discern. Can be difficult to discern. Because this is true for us. We're sitting here wondering, man, why don't I hear this all the time? Why don't I get tuned into this all the time? God's voice can be difficult to discern. And here's a few reasons why we struggle to hear it. One reason is inexperience. We need the role of community coming along. And take heart, dear friends. Even a faulty priest from the Old Testament can tune a little one in and teach them to hear the word of God, and a whole nation gets the word of God as a result. I find so much hope in that. The other reason is expectation. We've got to ask ourselves, like, do we expect God to speak to us or not? And I say expectancy positions us to hear God in everyday life or not hear God in everyday life. Creates ordinary moments of grace. One of the things I'm working on in my own relationship, my own walk with Jesus this year, I'm trying to work on my alertness and attentiveness to how God is showing up in my life, taking time at the end of the day to jot these things down. We got to have a spirit of expectancy and expectation on us, though. We sit here and we shrug and we're feeling numb to this whole thing. It's like, God's never spoke to me. Do you expect him to speak to you? Eugene Peterson goes even further than that. And he says, sometimes if we haven't heard from God much, we got to ask the question, why would God want to speak to me? What am I listening for him to say? Another reason is sin. Eli couldn't hear God's voice because of sin. Chapter 2, verse 22 tells us, Eli heard his sons were boasting about their wickedness, and Eli did not restrain them. And Eli's ability to hear God started to switch off through that sin of omission. You could go even further. You could talk about how God stripped Eli and his family of the priestly role and the priestly duties, and God raised another up who would listen to his voice. Last reason is unwillingness. Samuel is willing. Eli, and through his boys, were unwilling. Unwillingness may arise from selfishness, the fear of change, or general rebellion. And the story of Eli, he's important to notice because it becomes the story of God's people. We tend to listen to the wrong voice because of our sin, but God still speaks. His voice may be heard. His voice may sound terrible. It may sound frightening, but it's the voice of a loving father, dear friend, who loves you, and he wants to speak his love to you. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord, and in their sin, they ran and hid. It might even involve some of us turning to hear from God in a fresh way. It might be some sin on our life that makes us want to hide as well. But when we come into the presence of a loving Father who's already punished his son Jesus in our place, and we come into his presence, we say, thank you for punishing him. What do you have for me? We won't be like Adam and Eve in the garden. But for them and for people who are far from God, God's voice might be a source of anxiety. It might lead you into a place of fear, but hope and companionship and relationship are God's aims. But it's possible, dear friends, it's possible that sin has stopped up our ears. And when we even think of turning to God, it might sound more terrifying than comforting, because sin causes us to fear God's voice instead of long for God's voice. Eugene Peterson says the primary organ for receiving God's revelation is not the eye that sees, but the ear that hears. This means that all of our reading of Scripture must develop into a hearing of the Word of God. I had somebody ask me last year, Thomas, why do we put so much emphasis on reading the Scripture? I mean, we could do something else in that time. Like, why get this moment of attention to where we stand and we have God's Word read and we give thanks for it? Dear friends, it's because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And if we don't get that deep into us, there'll be nothing to sing about, and there'll be nothing to take to other people as well. We must get the word into us. Finally, dear friend, and we'll conclude with this, know this as we start a new season and a new year, a disciple is someone who is constantly growing in his or her ability to hear, trust, and obey God's word. We had more time together. We're sitting down over a couple of coffee. I draw you out a little bit right here and say, hey, how do you define what it means to be a disciple? If we gave you a little 5-page reflective essay, how would you write that in? What would you say it means to be a disciple? What are all the things that you would go writing down? There's lots of right ways we could complete that exercise. Then we strip it back and say, hey, one page of paper now. Write down, what does it mean to be a disciple? Put it on one page. And then remember that thing called Twitter or X, right? And what if we got it down to 140 characters now? You get one beefy sentence. What is your definition of what it means to be a disciple? How would you write it down? How would you define it? And there's lots of ways to define it. There's lots of ways to describe it. It gets after some of what it is, but not all of what it is. Friends, very, very near and dear to my heart is this understanding right here. A disciple is someone who is constantly growing in his or her ability to do three things: hear him, trust him, and obey him. Did you come to church this morning just to be reminded it gets down to three words, and it's that simple? He wants you to live in a relationship where you hear him. He speaks. Do you hear him? Are you listening? He wants you to live in a relationship with him where there's one of trust. I believe that you're speaking right now. I believe you, right? And I'm going to go do something about it. There's obedience. Jesus talked a lot about obedience that bears fruit and brings glory to our Father in heaven. It's what he wants. He wants our obedience. He doesn't want our perfect attendance, though showing up many times is obedience. He doesn't want much knowledge in the mind. You realize you could honor the Lord and glorify the Lord not by reading stacks on stacks of theological topics about who God is, but finding a few verses of Scripture and just working those out in your everyday life. Hearing, trusting, and obeying. God is going to prompt you in the year ahead. He's going to speak to you. And all of us have an opportunity. Will we hear him, trust him, and obey him? Or will we fall prey to what the great Puritans taught so, so well? The same sun that melts the ice over here, it bakes the clay over here. None of us get out of this neutrally. Even in this last moment, it's like, I messed everything up. I came here. Now I'm accountable. Well, you knew it anyways. Now I just made it plain. Hearing, trusting, and obeying. This is what God invites you to. And you want to get serious about the Lord in a new year? You want to take things up in your marriage and your parenting? Get into these three words faithfully. Hearing God, trusting God, and obeying God. And see how much of the pain and the problems and the tension that you carried into this place starts to find itself dealt with when we return to these basics of discipleship. Hearing, trusting, and obeying. And what a haunting thought. That if it doesn't come through us, God will raise up another to do it over there. Here's my word for you. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I give you this prayer to start the year with, and I'm gonna guide you into some more things. We're gonna get into prayer next week and the word of God after that, but here's our homework for this week, to work this phrase out into every facet of our lives. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for our path. So God wants to throw some illumination on the path so we can see the world that leads to Jesus. And in the beginning, in the fourth gospel, we celebrated this at Christmas. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is that divine Word given to humanity. Let's work this Word in this week. Let's pray this Word this afternoon. Let's try to pray it as we're nodding off to sleep tonight. Let's try to pray it as we're getting cranked back up in the morning. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And as you listen, listen to the voice of Jesus in the middle of it. For Bonhoeffer tells us, he is the center and the strength of the Bible, of the church, of theology, but also of humanity, of reason, of justice, of arts and culture, and everything must return to him. It is only under his protection that it can live. And as you listen for what God is saying, you listen for specific promises about who Jesus is and how God has promised to be faithful over your life. He's promised to be faithful to keep you to the very end. He has promised to reveal himself to you, and he desires to show up through you later this afternoon and tomorrow when you show back up at the office. He desires to show himself through you and to create a group of people that are audacious for him, because we are learning to hear him, to trust him, and to obey him. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. Speak to us. Even right now in this moment, friends, just giving you an opportunity to open up your life, to have that openness about you. I'm open, God, speak. What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to hear in this chapter of Scripture? What do you want me to hear this morning? Speak, Lord. I'm listening. I'm turning to you. I'm turning my ear to you. Speak. For those places where sin is jammed up or clogged up the ability to hear, confess that sin to God. Kind of realize you're trying to speak, but I got this crowding the way. How would you take this? Speak to me now. I'm listening. Maybe it was inexperience. Maybe it's expectancy. Maybe it's an unwillingness. Where do you see yourself in the Word? Are you Eli over there? Are you Samuel? Are you Eli's sons? God, reveal yourself to us through your word and speak to us now in this moment. And even as we have an opportunity to stand and to sit and respond together, Holy Spirit, as your word has been opened, we invite your spirit to be here, to sweep this room, to sweep our hearts. Reveal yourself to us. Help us to return to you where we've run away in sin. Help us to trust in Jesus for the very first time, as all of this is very new for some. Help us to return. Help us to come home to you at the outset of this new year. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So my favorite verses in the whole Bible are John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I've told this to you before. We begin every Sunday morning as a worship team here by huddling up, and we get through a line of this verse right here. One of the reasons I love this so much is because you can hear everything from 1 Samuel 3 in that first phrase of Jesus. I know, sometimes it's like, Thomas, have you just gone on a little bit about an Old Testament passage of Scripture about how I'm supposed to hear God and over here in 2026 in Nashville? Here's the word of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Friends, let me invite you to stand to your feet if you're able. It's an opportunity for us to respond together. The altar of this church is open if you want to come forward and kneel and pray. You can sing and respond right where you are. Speak, O Lord. We'll sing our prayer.